Violence against transgender and gender nonconforming people has been on the rise for years. According to the Human Rights Campaign, this is the worst year they've seen since they started tracking in 2013. Black trans women are particularly at risk. Here in Philly, three black trans women have been attacked in the last 6 months. Two of those women were murdered. But because there are no laws in Pennsylvania to protect LGBTQ people from hate crimes, Philadelphia hasn't been able to do much about it. Why aren't queer and trans people protected under state hate crimes law? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. Michaela Wimberg of WHYY's Billy Penn spoke to Kendall Stevens, a black trans woman in Philadelphia who was recently attacked, and shared her story.
I did believe at one point during my attack that I was going to be murdered. I totally believed it. And I just said, God, please help me. And then when I went out of consciousness, that's when I thought that it was over for me. I said, I'm dead.
So Kendall Stevens is a 34-year-old black trans woman. She lives in Philadelphia. And back in August, it was the night before she was going to start a semester of classes at Temple. She's studying social work and public health there. She was inside her home, sort of getting ready for virtual school the next day, and she started to hear arguing outside her home.
I just hear a lot of banging and shouting and just raucous noise outside.
So she went outside her home in Point Breeze to sort of figure out what was going on, and she observed this fight that was happening among a bunch of her neighbors.
People throwing bottles and arguing and shouting and hitting on each other.
She sort of approached them and said that she was going to call 911. But at that point, six of her neighbors ganged up on her.
Before I knew it, I'm getting hit in my face. So when that happened, I'm like kind of stunned, but my knee-jerk reaction is to shut the door.
She tried to close her front door and sort of get away from this commotion, but those six neighbors
kicked the door and start swinging again,
pushed through her front door and followed her inside. They were punching her.
They picked up a wooden planter that I had as decoration and just started beating me upside my face and my head.
She says they were yelling transphobic slurs at her.
So what did she do?
So Steven says that this whole time, you know, she's falling in and out of consciousness.
And when I came back, something in me said, you muster up all the strength that you have and you get to that basement, you get to safety. And that's what I did.
And when she heard them leave, she came back upstairs and called the police, told them what happened, eventually made it to the hospital, and they finally tended to her injuries there.
So how badly was she injured?
It was pretty bad. She ended up with her nose fractured in a few places. She had bruised ribs. She had this pretty sizable gash in her head, so there was blood all over her face and on her glasses.
But luckily, there was no significant brain injury or anything like that, so just thank God for that.
Unfortunately, this wasn't the first time that Stevens experienced something like this. She has been targeted for being a black trans woman at her past jobs, by people she's dated, by strangers. And as bad as it sounds, she says, you know, that past violence probably better prepared her to deal with this situation.
I'm always hypervigilant. I'm always assuming that someone may attack me, you know, and being at that level, that heightened level of awareness, if you will, is it's not natural. It's not healthy.
Well, thank goodness she survived, because other black trans women haven't been as lucky as she was.
Sadly, they really have not been. I mean, just this month, Mia Green, another black trans woman from Philadelphia, she was shot to death in West Philly. She was only 29. Earlier this summer, Dominique Remy Fells was murdered. Her body was found on the banks of the Schuylkill River back in June. And that's really just two people in a long list of black trans women who've been hurt or killed. There's Michelle Tamika Washington, who was shot in North Philly in May 2019. There's Shanti Tucker, who was killed in Hunting Park the year before that. There's Alicia Simmons, who was killed in West Philly last November. And this isn't even just an issue in Philadelphia. This is really a nationwide phenomenon. Just this year in 2020, 32 trans and gender nonconforming people have been murdered. Most of them have been Black or Latinx trans women. So that stat is from the Human Rights Campaign. They keep track of violence against trans people. They've been keeping tabs since 2013, and they say this year is the highest rate of violence they've seen against trans people for this point in the year, October.
Have any of the perpetrators in Philadelphia been arrested?
Yes, they have. So District Attorney Larry Krasner, he called a press conference a few weeks ago to announce that he's prosecuting suspects in connection to Stephen's assault case and Mia Green's murder.
We want everybody protected. We want Mia Green protected. We want everybody protected.
But he's not going to be able to charge them with a felony hate crime because there are actually no laws in Pennsylvania that protect LGBTQ people against hate crimes.
Why?
Pennsylvania is one of the few remaining states where LGBTQ is not a protected class. So that means that no hate crime laws are violated, even if people are specifically attacked because of their sexuality or gender identity. So I spoke to Tori Cooper. She works for the Transgender Justice Initiative, which is part of the Human Rights Campaign. And she said that the way that laws are in Pennsylvania, frankly, in 2020 is ludicrous.
It seems just really dangerous that in 2020 that there's still states that don't have trans folks in particular as a protected class.
And in addition to the fact that there's no hate crime legislation to protect LGBTQ people, Pennsylvania laws are also written in a way that there are no discrimination laws violated if queer people and trans people are treated differently when it comes to things like housing, education, employment. So there's sort of a slate of factors against queer and trans people in Pennsylvania law right now.
So, Michaela, just to be clear, Pennsylvania does have a hate crimes law, but LGBTQ people are not protected under it.
That's right. There is a hate crime law, and it protects people who are discriminated against on the grounds of things like religion, race. But for LGBTQ people, the only state recourse they have is that they can file a complaint with the Pennsylvania Human Relations Commission if they believe that they have experienced discrimination. Otherwise, yeah, there's not a law that's directly protecting LGBTQ people. And I mean, what's really unfathomable is that in Pennsylvania, people can still kill a queer or trans person and claim what's known as the gay panic defense, which basically says that the victim's sexuality or gender identity is so provocative that it can motivate someone to commit an attack. So in Pennsylvania, not only is it not a hate crime to kill a queer or trans person, but it actually can be a legal defense.
Has anybody ever claimed a gay panic defense?
Well, the most famous instance when the gay panic defense was attempted to be used was in 1998. That was in the Matthew Shepard case. Matthew Shepard was a college student in Wyoming. He was gay, and he was murdered by two men who claimed that he was coming on to them, basically. And their lawyer, in attempting to acquit them of murder, tried to employ the gay panic defense. But the judge struck that down. But it's still on the books in Pennsylvania. So it's not all that common for people to use the gay panic defense anymore, but I think a lot of people just find it shocking that we have it on our books anymore at all.
When we come back,
we need to have our presidents and our vice presidents and our Senate members and our Congress members to say, we got your back. We will not see you continue to be murdered in the streets, murdered in your homes.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Billy Penn reporter Michaela Wimberg about why Pennsylvania has no laws to specifically protect LGBTQ people. Has anybody in the PA legislature tried to increase protections for LGBTQ people?
Yeah, for three sessions in a row now, State Senator Larry Farnese, whose district is in South Philly, he has introduced bills that have tried to help protect LGBTQ people in Pennsylvania.
We've had situations where people have been attacked in this city, which we know are hate crimes, but at the state level, we don't have the legislation there to be able to charge them, and it's a problem.
So he introduced a hate crimes bill, which would make LGBTQ a protected class. So if that were passed, that would mean that anyone who hurt or killed an LGBTQ person, specifically based on their sexuality or their gender identity, they could be prosecuted with a misdemeanor or felony hate crime charge. He introduced a bill that would eliminate the gay panic defense, take it off the books in Pennsylvania so people couldn't use that as a justification for violence. And there's one more. He introduced an anti-discrimination bill, which would ban discrimination in housing, education, and employment in Pennsylvania based on someone's status as an LGBTQ person.
So what's happened to those bills?
Well, two of the bills have stalled out in the Judiciary Committee. The other one is in the Labor and Industry Committee. Both of those committees are controlled by Republicans who have refused to move them forward. So the bills just stay there and they stall out. On the Republican side, controlling the Judiciary Committee is State Senator Lisa Baker, whose district is in central Pennsylvania around Luzerne County. So I reached out to her to ask her what's going on with those bills for this story. And her defense for them just sitting there was basically saying there's not enough time in this session to get any legislation passed now. It's not really common practice for legislators to take action on bills after the election, which, as we know, is just a few weeks away. But that doesn't really address the fact that those bills have been sitting in committee for over a year each.
So what does that mean for DAs like Larry Krasner for prosecuting this kind of violence?
Well, he has sort of the standard tools that are in any DA's toolbox for a violent offense like this. So he can charge people with murder. He can charge people with reckless endangerment, which he is doing in these cases that we're talking about from over the summer. But he can't charge these people with a hate crime. So in Philadelphia, there is a municipal ordinance that allows DAs like Krasner to prosecute crimes like this with an ethnic intimidation charge. But it's only as a summary offense, so the most minor type of criminal offense that exists in Pennsylvania. They would have a fine that's pretty much on the level of a traffic citation. You don't always even have to go to court for a summary offense. And Kendall Stevens, the Black trans woman who was attacked over the summer, she says that's why these laws need to be changed on the state level. It's symbolic of the fact that to her, it feels like an attack against her because she's trans doesn't really matter at the state level.
We need to have our presidents and our vice presidents and our Senate members and our Congress members to say, we got your back. We will not see you continue to be murdered in the streets. Murdered in your homes, be attacked with impunity.
So, Michaela, we're seeing this increase in violence, and people are calling for action, and meanwhile, bills are stuck in committee. Is there any movement on this issue now?
There's been minimal movement on this. So last week, there was a public hearing in Westchester that was called by Republican State Senator Tom Killian. It was a hearing that was on strengthening hate crime laws in Pennsylvania against people with intellectual disabilities and also the LGBTQ community. So this hearing specifically was the Pennsylvania Senate Majority Policy Committee. That's a Republican group. And it's just a hearing, so there's not any direct action that can come from it. It's really just a discussion of legislation. But Kendall Stevens was there. She was actually the first Black trans woman ever to speak before this group in its history. And she talked about, you know, how fearful she is to live in Pennsylvania when she's not protected under hate crime legislation, anti-discrimination laws.
When the police came to my house, they laughed at me. As I bled from my nose, bled from my eyes, bled from my head, bled from my mouth. They laughed at me and told me to go and file a private complaint, even though I pointed out the people who attacked me. And this is why we need hate crime legislation in the Commonwealth to include LGBTQ plus individuals.
Her testimony seemed to make an impact. State Senator David Argall is the chair of the committee, and he said Stevens' testimony was the most powerful that he had ever heard as chair of that committee. And he mentioned that if all legislators in the House and the Senate heard this, they would probably be moved to take action. But everyone didn't hear it. It was just this small group, this committee.
Will this information, it was a public hearing, so can it get out to people who need to hear it? Can it get out to everyone?
Well, the hearing itself was live streamed on the GOP's website, and the video is posted now. It was posted the same afternoon of the hearing. So theoretically, state senators and House reps could go back and look at it if they chose to take the time to listen. And that would match, you know, what experts are recommending as a solution to this kind of thing. When I spoke to Tori Cooper from the Human Rights Campaign, she said that Farnese should probably stop reintroducing the same bills over and over again to the same legislative body. And instead,
there should be, along with pushing this type of legislation, there should be continuing and ongoing educational efforts as well from him and from his constituents.
Sort of try to get in on the ground floor and educate legislators in the state Senate about the nature of violence against trans people. So maybe a hearing like that could make a dent if people decide to listen.
Michaela, thank you so much for your important reporting on this story.
Thanks for having me, Annette.
Michaela Winberg is a reporter for WHYY's Billy Penn. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Alex Stern, Kelsey Hansen, Sabrina Boyd-Circa, Buffy Gorilla, and Malcolm Burnley, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Joanne McLaughlin. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, stay well, and we'll talk tomorrow.